I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3508. 800-378-3508. That's 800-378-3508. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Hey, welcome everybody. Sports Overnight America. I am Fred. You can email us at sportsfred@aol.com. A different kind of show. We'll prove it every time we do this show. We're heard on Sirius 217, XM 203, all those apps. Radio stations like KSHP 1400 in Las Vegas, American Forces, gals and guys, you stay healthy. Again, all the apps. My favorite is TuneIn. So you can listen to us everywhere, and you can see us on Believe and other places too as we go on with this program. Mark Mancini will join us, the world's worst sports handicapper, Art Source, former kicker for the Rams and the Trojans. He'll be with us. And Eric Sherman has written a very interesting book, Daybreak at Chavez Ravine. And we're talking about basically 1981 and Fernando, what he has meant to the Dodger organization. So there's so much to talk about. But earlier this week, Monday, the San Francisco Giants played a night game at home. The Oakland A's played a night game at home. On Tuesday, the San Francisco Giants played a night game at home. The Oakland A's played a night game at home. On Wednesday, the San Francisco Giants played a day game at home. The Oakland A's played a day game at home. Now, in Los Angeles, the Angels and the Dodgers once in a while are home at the same time. In New York, the Mets and the Yankees. In Chicago, the White Sox and the Cubs. But this is the Oakland A's. Everything Rob Manfred touches turns to doo-doo, in my opinion. Somebody had to say, the A's aren't drawing 3,000 anyways. Why cut it in half and have them at home when the Giants are at home? Please explain. SportsFred@AOL.com. SportsFred@AOL.com. All right. To me, the biggest story in a long time. April 15th, 1947, Jackie Robinson, first African-American in a long time in the major leagues. Which organization did he play for? Oh, the Brooklyn Dodgers. That's right. Well, these Brooklyn Dodgers, now LA Dodgers, on June 16th, Pride Night at Dodger Stadium. Pride Night for gays and transgenders. And they were going to honor a group of gay nuns. However, Marco Rubio from 3,000 miles away, the ingenious senator that he is, said that would be anti-Catholic. So the organization that played Jackie Robinson on April 15, 1947, caved and they disinvited the gay nun group. Email us, sportsfred@AOL.com, sportsfred@AOL.com. Back with more on Sports Overnight America right after this.
Wendy's Strawberry Frosty is back for the summer. Because if it's summertime, it's frosty time. Beach time? Frosty time. Tea time? Frosty time. Me time? Frosty time. Treat yourself to Wendy's Strawberry Frosty this summer and make time for frosty time. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. Now open till midnight or later.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's. Hours may vary.
Staples has everything your business needs all in one place. Shipping supplies and services so you can fill orders from all over in one stop. Plus, professional print and marketing services at your fingertips. And now, during Staples Small Business Deal Days, when rewards members spend $100 or more, they get $20 back in rewards plus another $10 back with the Staples Connect app. And you'll find new deals in-store every week on tech, chairs, and shipping supplies. Get everything for your business for less at Staples. Rewards offer ends 5/27. Limit one. Redeemable in-store only.
I switched to Boost Mobile and got a free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone. Want to know the best part?
It was free?
Nope.
The fact that it's on America's largest 5G networks?
Nope. It's the ding.
Oh, yeah. Love the ding.
Right? It's all about the ding. It's the dingarooski, the dingaroner, the ring-a-ding-ding.
Unleash your power to save with Boost. Get a free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone when you switch. Boost Mobile. Unleash your power.
And the ding.
Limited time offer. New customers only. Available on select networks. 5G not available everywhere. One device per line. Tax excluded. Additional restrictions apply. See your local Boost Mobile store for details.
Are you looking to improve your baseball swing? You need the Rip Grip Pro. Co-created by Dodgers AAA star Drew Avens, the Rip Grip Pro will help you stay palm up, palm down, and pull the barrel of the bat through the zone instead of pushing it. Check out Drew's videos at ripgrippro.com, and you'll see how this can help you or the baseball player in your family improve your ABs. Get the adjustability in your swing that you need. Go to ripgrippro.com. That's ripgrippro.com.
This is Ron Barr. Be sure to check out Sports Byline and the 8Side Network's outstanding 8-part podcast series, Behind the Barrier, Voices from the Negro Leagues. Hear Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and others share their stories of the Negro Leagues, the challenges that the players face, and the importance of Negro League baseball to the game's history. Behind the Barrier is available now on the iHeart Podcast Network and all podcast platforms, including Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Stitcher, and Pandora. Check out Behind the Barrier.
Hey, welcome everybody back to Sports Overnight America. Later, Eric Sherman, Daybreak, Javed Green will make an appearance. Fernando Mania and the remaking of the Los Angeles Dodgers. The guys are now with us. And of course, on Friday of this week, we lost probably the greatest running back in the history of football, at least certainly in my lifetime. It was Gale Sayers or Jim Brown. Jim Brown passed away on Friday, and Artie, you played for the Rams, you played for USC. Your comments about the loss of Jim Brown at 87 years of age.
Well, Jim Brown was a very good friend of a great friend of mine who passed away a couple of years ago, Cedric Hardman, who played for the 49ers and the Raiders. And I got to meet Jimmy Brown over the years. And, you know, we're going to talk about Fernando and his influence, you know, in Los Angeles, to the Chicano and the Mexicans and the Hispanic people. Jim Brown did for blacks in the NFL so much. And he was such a leader, much like Muhammad Ali, much like, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He stood up for so many great things in terms of furthering the chances of the black people. And he was really an intelligent, incredible football player. Let's put it this way. My father played in the NFL for the Giants, and my dad said, when you ran into Jimmy Brown, you knew you ran into something special. And I mean, yeah. This guy had power. He had elusiveness. He had intelligence. He was a movie star in Hollywood as well. I mean, he had his hands and made his mark in American society in such a positive way. And he did have a few, you know, missteps along the way. Nobody lives a perfect life, Fred. We all know that. But he, in the end, what Jimmy Brown meant to the American sporting scene is not quite what Jackie Robinson or Muhammad Ali made, but he was in that pantheon, in my opinion.
Yeah. Mark Mancini, you're younger. What do you think about Jim Brown and what he meant to the folks, if you're just joining us, Jim Brown passed away on Friday, and I'm a little stunned. Mark, your comments about Jim Brown?
I'll tell you one thing. As far as I can remember, Cleveland Browns have not been relevant since. He hasn't run for them. So
1964, the last time they won a championship.
And I was 3 years old then, so you can do the math and figure that one out. But the Browns organization hasn't been relevant since Fred and Artie, since Jim Brown stopped running for them.
He was smart enough to retire after only 9 years and growing up again. My two favorite running backs were Gale Sayers and Jim Brown, and I really couldn't delineate who I thought was better. Both had shortened careers. In Jim Brown's case, it was his choice. In Sayers' case, it was injuries, but Jim Brown passing away at 87.
All right, two amazingly and two amazingly different styles too, Fred.
Oh, totally. Getting to baseball as we open the show, talking about on Monday of this week, the Giants were playing at home and the Oakland A's were playing at home. On Tuesday, the Giants were playing at home and the Oakland A's were playing at home. On Wednesday, afternoon games, both were playing at home. Artie, you have any comments about Major League Baseball and the schedule and Rob Manfred and what's going on?
I don't know who makes the schedule there in New York, but that's just absolutely ridiculous. Knowing that, really, let's be honest. I mean, you know, the Giants do really well, but they had a lot of years there where they had some lean times as well. But Oakland, who's you know, already bought land in Las Vegas where the Tropicana sits, right there on Las Vegas Boulevard, you know, they drew 1,000 fans on one of those nights and 2,000 fans on the other night. The Las Vegas Review-Journal has a daily, you know, basic look at, you know, the attendance between the Las Vegas AAA team, the Aviators, and the Oakland A's. And they're drawing very close now. They're averaging, you know, about 5,000 fans apiece. And I just think it's a matter of time till Oakland has to really just, you know, fess up and say, look, we can't do this. You've got a vibrant, growing city like Las Vegas. You saw what the Raiders have been able to do. You've seen what, you know, they've been able to do in that town. I just think it's a matter of time between Oakland, you know, getting to Las Vegas and starting all over again, because it's untenable to be able to draw 2,000 fans in the mausoleum or the what they used to call the Oakland Coliseum. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. And you know, I've got to put the blame directly on Mr. Manfred.
Well, Mark Mancini, you know, my thoughts about Rob Manfred is very similar to Artie. How about
I'm not a big fan of Rob Manfred, but I will tell you this. When Oakland came west, when the Dodgers came west, when the Giants came west, I don't think anybody's put the state of California on the map like the Oakland A's winning those three titles in a row. Nobody's come close to that.
But they still didn't draw very many
They never drew when they were winning. And maybe it was a football town. You know, when you look at St. Louis is a baseball town. The Rams couldn't draw. Pittsburgh's a football town. The Pirates can't draw. But what I really want to know is, out of those 1,000 spectators, was our great producer Mario there to support them?
Folks, you can email us right here on Sports Overnight America at sportsfred@aol.com, sportsfred@aol.com. And, of course, Rob Manfred came up with these bunch of crackpot ideas, the worst being the ghost runner, I think, in extra inning. But the pitch clock, to save a few minutes, more pitchers seem to be going down with arm injuries than ever before. Mark, do you think that has anything to do with the fact that they don't have time between pitches? Do you think that might have some of the reason for all these pitchers getting hurt?
Yeah, you bring a great point up, because I was talking with Kip Gross on this about the pitchers of yesteryear that went 200, 300 innings. They didn't burn their arms out. Nolan Ryan threw 11 innings in a game. These guys today are burning their arms out in Little League and traveling ball, it seems like. But I will tell you this, and on two fronts as a pitcher, you know, you can't brush back the guy no more. Otherwise, you get warnings. Come on, if a guy's showing you up and hits a home run and trots it around like Fred Flintstone, why can't I deck the next guy?
Yeah, would you like to see what Don Drysdale would do to that guy the next time he came up?
Yeah, and that's the thing. They take it out of the pitcher's hands in more ways than one, because you can't retaliate against these guys. And let me tell you what, Max Muncy there leading the league in home runs. If I'm a pitcher, I'm busting him inside high and tight so he can't extend those arms so he can get the number 15, Fred and Artie.
All right. A major topic to me, and will be forever, occurred this week with the Dodgers, the Dodger organization. Again, their Pride Night, June 16th. And again, the Dodgers have had Pride Night for about a decade now.
I was going to say 10, 11, 12 years. Yeah.
Yeah. And they make a lot of money on it. They sell the pink shirts and whatever. But they were going to honor, as I opened the show talking about, they were going to honor a group of nuns who are gay or transgender. And it was all set. They invited them. And then people like the ingenious senator from Florida, Marco Rubio, said, no, that's anti-Catholic. So the Dodgers caved. The Dodgers disinvited the group of nuns. When I read that, I said to myself, this isn't the organization that I knew. This isn't the organization that turned my dad into a Dodger fan when they signed Jackie Robinson. This is a stinking organization who's worried about money, 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 and nothing more. Art, you were born a Catholic. Your comments.
Well, you know, that's a tough situation, Fred. And you know, we discussed it off the air a little bit. I just find it, you know, if you're going to do it for 9 years and have no problem with it, and everybody seems to be okay with it, and we all live in a world where we all need to get along, and we do realize that people come from different walks of life. I just think, you know, to turn it into something that you take one group and hurt them because somebody said something. Look, stick to your guns. I mean, most of their front office is made up of Jewish American men who are very successful. I mean, they understand racism and these things more than anybody does. I just don't think it makes a lot of sense to define, you know, a certain aspect of society, and, you know, because someone says that, you know, it's going to bother somebody else. It's a complex situation.
Well, and not only that, Fred, I'll second what Artie says. If you were doing this for so many years, why are you stopping now on the pure pressure? But here's the other thing. You know, we had an incident that we talked about in the pre-chat. This is 4 or 5 incidences now in the last few years with Dodger fans just getting cold cocked on pavements. And we don't talk about that. We don't try to get better security. We got rent-a-cops just looking at the guy cold-cocked after that. Why are we addressing that issue?
That's the biggest issue in all of California right now.
I don't care.
I mean, this law and order campaign, Mark, let's get serious here. Yeah. You've got DAs that are letting people out on the streets, and they're hurting people. And I mean, I don't understand where that comes from. If you commit a crime 45 times, okay, there's got to be a reason. Maybe you should go to jail for 6 months and maybe figure out what's going on in your life. I mean, get some help while you're there. But to put these people right back on the streets is scary to me.
Yeah.
Folks, Sports Overnight America. Later, we'll be talking to Eric Sherman, author of Daybreak at Chevrolet Ravine and Fernando Mania and the remaking of the Los Angeles Dodgers, a most interesting book. And we'll have Eric with us later. But we come back, we'll play some Barron Sports Trivia, and we'll find out what a 126-year-old Art Source can respond. The last couple of weeks, these guys are doing wonderfully well. We'll find out if they continue straight ahead on Sports Overnight.
If your loved one has passed away due to COVID-19, pay close attention to this message. You could be entitled to a death benefit of over $300,000. The U.S. government has set up a fund to pay families relief if they've lost a loved one due to COVID-19. We know this is a hard time for you, and this fund has been set up by the federal government to help ease your pain. The compensation includes a death benefit and lost wages benefit. Time is limited, so we urge you to make a free phone call right now. There's no cost to you for this claim. All legal fees are only covered once you receive your money. So if you've lost a loved one due to COVID-19, call the legal helpline right now to find out if you qualify for a cash award. Here's our number. 800-918-4086. 800-918-4086. 800-918-4086. That's 800-918-4086. Paid for by the IPG Law Group.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities. like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and the annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Overnight America. You can email us at sportsfred@aol.com. sportsfred@aol.com. And, of course, time for Barron Sports Trivia. And before we start, we have to ask 126-year-old Art Source, middle of the night, you're 126 years of age. You always take legal medicinal products that keep you up and answer the questions. And again, you guys have been answering most of the questions correctly the last couple of weeks. Artie, what do you take to stay awake and to answer the questions?
Well, you said it, awaken. There it is, right in front of you.
He's got a voodoo doll on the front of that thing. Where's that thing from? New Orleans?
No, it's actually a tree. Talking about all the herbs that make up all the nootropics in here. But yeah, basically awaken because we're late night TV and radio. And of course, I also like Prevagen. And there's a new one out there called Pro Focus. Now I got to tell you, my golf game. I used to be able to go, you know, have some great periods of golf. I used to be able to go like 5, 6, 7 holes. Now I can actually go 7 or 8 holes with a little focus. And wow. At my age, that's incredible. I mean, I'm really excited about it. But hey, anything to help make things better, that's, as long as it's good for you. And the only thing that's always scared me is my grandpa had Alzheimer's. And he could tell me about 1930 like it was nothing, nobody's business. But if I asked him what we had for dinner last night, we were in big trouble. So I know it's
all
in
right,
the family.
Some Barron Sports Trivia. Mark's about half the age of 126-year-old Art Source. And, of course, I'm 39.
Hey, so Fred, we don't get older. We get more distinguished.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah,
I guess
all
so.
All right, for Mark first. For a long period of time, the Dodgers, both in Brooklyn and here, had 2 AAA clubs, one in the International League and one in the American Association. Which cities had these clubs? The Dodgers had 2 clubs, 2 AAA clubs, one in the International League and one in the American Association. Can you name even one? Mark Mancini.
Albuquerque Dukes, Isotopes, Oklahoma City. Fort Niners, I think. The International League, that's back there with Pawtucket, Columbus, Rochester, and all those guys.
But
what's that French city?
Hang on. Give me 2 names. Don't give me 12. Give me 2 possible cities, Mark. Go ahead.
Albuquerque and Oklahoma City.
All right. Art, is Mr. Mark Mancini the world's worst sports handicapper correct?
Well, last time I checked, Albuquerque was in the PCL, so I'm going to have to say no. I'm going to go with the Montreal Royals,
right?
Being one of them, and they were in the old International League, if I'm not mistaken. The second one, the American Association. Golly, what could it have been? Had to be a big city that No, because Yankees had Kansas City.
Let me give you Brent, a hint. Let me give you a hint on the second one. You're correct on the first. And, of course, it would be the International League because they were international.
It's Montreal.
They're in Montreal. That makes sense. This city has a major league team now and has for many years now.
I'm going to have to go.
You know what? I got to be honest. The state has. The state.
Okay. So it would have been like Kansas. Kansas City? No.
Okay, so let me tell you the story.
How about Atlanta?
Okay, so let me tell you the story. It's 1976, and I'm driving. Gene McCarthy, for the second time, is running for president in the primaries. Wow. And against Jimmy Carter, because he couldn't stand Jimmy Carter. And I drove him around every time he came to L.A. And he was a big baseball fan. And he was a big Walter Alston fan.
So it had
now,
to
the
be.
Reason he was a big Gene McCarthy, of course, was senator from Minnesota. And the reason he was such a Walter Alston fan was Walter Alston was the manager of the St. Paul Dodger farm team.
St. Paul, that's it. Yeah,
and they had met many, many times. So I walk in the clubhouse and I ask Jim Gilliam Gene McCarthy would like to talk to Walt Alston. And I never forget this. Jim Gilliam says, "Skip, Mr. Senator McCarthy wants to talk to you." And Alston, and Walter came out within, like, I swear to you, 15 seconds, and they shook hands and they hugged and the whole thing. So
yeah,
Gene McCarthy, too smart for the modern day world.
Him and Hubert Humphrey, another great one from that
from Minnesota. That they had top-notch guys, but Gene was the smartest politician I've ever met in my life, and I don't think anybody.
That was the bicentennial year, Fred.
76, yeah.
Yeah.
And nobody even remembers that Gene ran a second time. That's the interesting thing. I remember 68, of course, but not 76. All right. Art Source, you were right on the first one, or at least 50% right on the first one. Here it is. This is a pitcher that people have sort of forgotten. I don't know why. This Hall of Fame hurler, mostly for the Phillies, also starred in basketball at Michigan State. I'll give you a hint. In the late 40s for the Spartans. This Hall of Fame hurler, mostly for the Phillies, also starred in basketball at Michigan State.
I'm going to have to go with the only guy that came to mind, Robin Roberts.
Ah!
See, those legal pills are really working.
That's where I was going. I was going to jump right on that if you weren't up. I was going to grab that. Robin Roberts.
I was going to say a kind of bird, and I was going to say a TV personality, Robin Roberts on ABC.
Right.
But I didn't have to do. I didn't even have to go that far. That is Robin spectacular. Roberts. That is fantastic. Okay, Mark, John Morant. Where did he go to school?
Murray State.
Murray State. Guy that talented went to Murray State.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was talking to a guy earlier this morning. He lives in Memphis, and he slid it right over. He told me, "Yeah, Mike, I'm going Murray State."
Art, is that right?
Yeah, he played for the Zips.
Yeah.
How come a guy so talented with guns and on the basketball court?
Well, maybe they knew something that we already are just finding out.
You know,
So let's go with John Morant. He's got like $90 million over 4 years or something, some ridiculous number. What's the answer for somebody like Morant? What is the answer for the fan and for the league and whatever?
He needs to sit down with Magic Johnson for about an hour, okay? And they need to discuss what it's like to be an adult male in the world in 2023 and the responsibilities that come with the position you're in, okay? And I'm going to tell you, Fred, so many times we've seen it happen in sports where a young man, doesn't matter what culture they're from, what color they are, doesn't matter. They get too much money too fast, and they're not given the proper tools to understand the position they're in.
Mark, you agree?
Well, he's absolutely right. But sometimes the guys he grew up with and ran with, you can't bring them when you start to climb that ladder. And, yeah, you know, a lot of people compare this guy, and I've heard it, and I think it's really unfair, but they compare John Morant to how Allen Iverson was, and it's totally different. Allen Iverson played the game all out. He willed the Sixers to that final.
He just didn't like to practice.
He just didn't like to practice, exactly. But when I look at John Morant, I kind of see Penny Hardaway in some ways.
Wow.
You know?
But where did Penny Hardaway have a gun?
Yeah, well,
not the gun issue, but just not being able to sustain it, where he had a great career. And if he just worked with Shaquille O'Neal in Orlando,
I got a better comparison. Better comparison. Yeah. Ray Lewis might be a little better.
Yeah, Ray Lewis would be in. Yeah.
Folks, you have any thoughts? Email us sportsfred@AOL.com. sportsfred@AOL.com. All right, one more question. Barron Sports Trivia. James Harden did not necessarily get along with his former coach, Doc Rivers. Why Doc Rivers is now unemployed. I don't think for long, but he's unemployed as we do Sports Overnight America. Artie, where did Doc Rivers go to school?
Doc Rivers?
Oh, wow. Ah, I got it.
Good. I'm glad you do, partner.
Let's see if I already get
Let's see. Doc Rivers, Boston Celtics, 5-13 in game sevens. I'm going to throw it out there just for the heck of it. I'm going to say played for Louis Carnesecca down in somewhere, the Red Man or whatever they are now. That's what I'm going to say.
So you're saying St. John's?
Yeah, St. John's.
Mark, is St. John's correct?
No, Marquette.
Marquette? Another Catholic school?
Yeah, Marquette.
I think he might be right.
Yeah.
Artie, you think Mark's right and you're wrong?
I actually do, because I had no idea.
The answer is Marquette. Congratulations, Mark Mancini. Anyways, we're going to come back and discuss Daybreak at Chavez Ravine for Mandomania and the remaking of Los Angeles Dodgers, written by Eric Sherman. Then the guys are going to come back and we'll talk about a little bit more. It's all straight away, as usual, on Sports Overnight.
Next up, Straight Talk from Doug.
Ever notice that saying no offense is offensive? Like, no offense, but you're overpaying for your wireless. See? Offensive.
That's the Straight Talk talking. Get unlimited plans as low as $35 a month from Straight Talk on America's most reliable 5G network. Available at Walmart and Walmart.com. On the $35 plan, first 10 gigabytes data at high speed, then 2G speeds. Refer to the latest terms at StraightTalk.com. Based on most first place rankings, root metrics, second half 2022 assessments of 125 metros. Experiences vary, not an endorsement.
Water is one of our planet's most important resources. Yet people around the world struggle with access to safe drinking water. The IBM Sustainability Accelerator works to improve equitable access to safe drinking water for all, improve water quality by reducing pollution, increase water use efficiency, and reduce the number of people suffering from water scarcity. Organizations and initiatives pursuing these water management-focused goals can apply to the program between March 13 and the end of May 2023. Justina Nixon-Santil, IBM VP and Chief Impact Officer.
Water management for the world's most vulnerable communities is a tremendous challenge. Following our first two cohorts on sustainable agriculture and clean energy, we look forward to working with organizations with scalable technology solutions that support communities with water challenges, including shortages, pollution, or conservation.
Visit ibm.com/impact/initiative. This is sponsored by IBM.
Collectible Exchange is the most trusted sports memorabilia company in the country, carrying game-used, autographed, and other one-of-a-kind items. Founded by collecting icon Brandon Steiner from Steiner Sports, they can also help you evaluate, authenticate, and sell your sports collectibles. Check out CollectibleExchange.com and use code RADIO20 for 20% off between now and Father's Day. With over 150,000 items and over 80 pro and college athletes selling directly to you. That's code RADIO20 at CollectibleExchange.com.
The following is a message from the future, sent by Jamie from Progressive.
Back in 2023, you could get help from Progressive online, through our mobile app, or over the phone. But here, in the future, we can communicate with you through telepathy. I don't think anyone in 2023 has mastered telepathy yet, but if you have, then you can totally read my thoughts right now. And yes, I did leave the oven on. Wow, you're good at this.
That was a message from the future. Get the help you need today with Progressive.
Do you smell smoke? I really should go.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Sports Overnight America. You can email us at sportsfred@aol.com, sportsfred@aol.com. Our guest, Eric Sherman, he has written a very interesting book, Daybreak at Jabez Ravine. And basically, it's a story of what Fernando has meant to the Dodgers and the Dodger organization and to the Latino Chicano community here in Southern California. Eric, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Fred.
Eric, please explain to the fans what the words eminent domain might mean to a lot of people.
Well, it's a term that's thrown around a great deal when the greater good is tossed about, where land that people live on and have their homes on, sometimes for many generations, they're forced to sell and move elsewhere. So something else can come along, like an affordable housing project or a highway or those types of things.
Or 1958,
stadium,
deciding to build Dodger Stadium. Is that what we're talking about?
That is what we're talking about. Only really what happened was around 1950, the city of Los Angeles decided to build affordable housing units on what is Chavez Ravine. And so three neighborhoods of predominantly Mexican-American families, some that had lived there for two and three generations, some that grew all their own food on that land, were forced to sell. And the ones that didn't sell were forcibly removed. Now, what ended up happening, the Red Scare came along around 1953. And so that affordable housing project was deemed at best to be socialist and at worst to be communist. And so the politicians scrapped the project. So now the city of Los Angeles was stuck with 300 acres of property, and they didn't know what to do with it. So the Dodgers, 2,700 miles east, were playing at Ebbets Field, which only sat 28,000. Where other stadiums like Yankee Stadium and Cleveland's Municipal Stadium, you know, they could seat over 70,000. So the Dodgers needed more space. They needed more capacity. They couldn't get it from Robert Moses, who is the city planner in New York, in Brooklyn or Queens. So Los Angeles lured this beautiful piece of property that was soon to be connected to the highway. So those remaining families that didn't sell and thought they were in the clear with the housing project going kaput, some of them were literally dragged from their homes and watched as the city bulldozed their homes to the ground.
Mark Sanchez, the quarterback at USC's grandfather, I've actually talked to him about that before, and he was a part of all that. This is Artie Source, Eric.
Yeah.
You know, as you look at this, the Giants also had to come west for the Dodgers to come as well. Sahara Stoneham, the owner of the Giants, you know, what did O'Malley and Stoneham get promised by the powers that be in Major League Baseball to make this transfer of, like you said, 2,700, 3,000 miles?
Well, they were promised a big, beautiful ballpark in the Dodgers case, 56,000 seat. It was state of the art. And honestly, it's impossible for me to believe every time I go into Dodger Stadium that this is now the third oldest ballpark in the majors. It's gorgeous. Only Fenway and Wrigley are older, and Dodger Stadium is absolutely pristine. And, you know, nobody has a better sunset
it's still the most gorgeous place to go watch a baseball game, Mark.
Let me throw a little fire on the barbecue here. I'm a Pittsburgh boy raised in Los Angeles, but when I looked at the Dodgers over the years, the O'Malley seemed to have run it great. You had the infield that was there for 8 years with Garvey, Lopes, Say, and Russell. Yeah, you drew 3 million fans. Then we saw the McCourts come in here. We saw Fox get rid of Piazza. We saw this new regime come in. But it might be the third oldest ballpark, which people say it is, and, you know, the facts show it. I don't know if it's the safest ballpark to go. Now, people might argue New York, Philly, and Boston, but they're passionate fans back there. This place at Dodger Stadium the last few years has looked like a rugby resort. Nobody really wants to go there. And the Dodgers, you know, are looking the other way when we get guys cold cocked on pavements after games. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I'm not really up on that. You know, this book was on Fernando Valenzuela's impact on Mexican Americans, Latinos, the big leagues, and really he impacted scouting as we know it today.
Yeah.
You know, here was a guy out of the state of Sonora, Mexico.
The Babe Ruth of Mexico.
He really was. And when he came to the Dodgers, he became the Mexican Sandy Koufax that the Dodgers had sought for two decades. So before Fernando, there was around 5% Mexican-American Latinos at the ballpark. When Fernando arrived, on nights he pitched, it was well over 50%.
Yeah, correct.
So, and it's still the case today. You know, you go to the ballpark, you know, you go to Dodger Stadium, you will see roughly 50% Mexican-American and Latino, and you'll see just as many Fernando jerseys as you will Mookie Betts or Freddie Freeman. You really do. I've seen it firsthand.
Now, do you think part of that is because he does the Spanish broadcasts and because of the immense impact he had? I mean, I was a part of Fernando Media because Tommy Lasorda was one of our spokesmen for Mizuno Sporting Goods. And he told me at the very beginning, you got to get this guy. This guy's going to be the biggest star you ever saw. And I mean, I watched him take batting practice at Vero Beach. And I was like, this guy's a pitcher? This guy is unbelievable. I mean, he was an incredible athlete. Nobody knows really how old he was when he was a rookie, but that doesn't matter. He made such a great impression on Southern California.
Yeah.
And not just the Hispanic neighborhoods, but I mean, everybody loved Fernando Mania was something that was real.
Well, it really was. I mean, he started off his career with the greatest start for a starting pitcher in the history of the game. 8-0, 0.50 ERA, five shutouts. The guy gets invited to the White House. I write about this in the book, with 3 months big league experience. And he was the star of the show, you know, Reagan and Haig and Bush and the Mexican president, Portillo, they're asking for his autograph and not the other way around. That's how quickly and how organic Fernando Mania came about. It was just a remarkable thing. And like I said, it still exists today. But, you know, you mentioned Tommy Lasorda. Fernando's intensely shy, still is today, which is ironic because, as you also mentioned, he's on the Spanish language Dodgers network. Now, he was lucky. He had three people in his life that really acted as father figures and took the media spotlight away. And one of them, you mentioned Tommy Lasorda, who never saw a camera he didn't love. Jaime Jarrín, who was the Spanish language play-by-play guy. Just
Hall of Famer in his own right, correct?
Right. And so the Dodgers asked if he would be Fernando's interpreter during pregame and postgame interviews, and he did. And he was his interpreter well past the point that Fernando needed that kind of help. You know, he certainly understood English before he stopped using Jaime. And then there was Mike Brito, the scout that signed him. And Mike Brito, you know, for your listeners, he was the one holding the speed gun behind home plate with the Panama hat and the big cigar.
Panama hat. I loved him. He was a classic. Well,
and not only that, but I think the two most influential people in L.A. that I saw come through was Fernando Valenzuela with the Dodgers and Magic Johnson with the Lakers, because they transformed these organizations tremendously.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, actually. I would totally agree. I mean, Magic, I think, didn't just change the Lakers franchise, but I think he changed basketball. I mean, with that run and gun offense.
Our guest, Derek Sherman, who's written Daybreak at Chavez Ravine and Fernando Mania and the remaking of the Los Angeles Dodgers, of course, 1981. You mentioned the 5% that used to come to Dodger Stadium, and now 40 to 50% are Chicanos, Latinos. But you haven't mentioned April 27th, 1981, and the details of the kissing on the mound.
Morgana!
No, it wasn't Morgana. It was this young Mexican-American lady, about 19 years old. And you know, these were before the days when you could go to, you know, the Dodgers clubhouse store and pick up a replica jersey of your favorite player. She, like many Dodger fans at that time, at her home, she made her own Fernando jersey. She wore it to the ballpark. And late in that game, Fernando's pitching another shutout. I think it was around the eighth inning. She runs out onto the field and gives him a big hug and kiss and then runs off the field. And of course, in a post 9/11 world, that wouldn't happen today, but she did. And it really was as if the other 56,000 fans in attendance that night, she was giving Fernando a hug and kiss for them too. They all wanted to do that. They all wanted to embrace him, yeah, to show what he meant, not just to the Dodgers, but to the Latino community.
How shy was Fernando in reality?
Very shy. He still is. He leaves in the seventh inning while he's broadcasting games so he could avoid the crowd. I'll give you an example. I interviewed, you know, those card shows, the memorabilia shows where, you know, they usually have two or three former players, stars, and, you know, they might throw them a couple of $1,000 to sign autographs for a couple of hours. Well, I have it firsthand from two promoters that Fernando's been offered at least $40,000 for 2 hours work, but it would entail, you know, taking pictures with the fans and signing autographs and a little bit of chit chat, and he won't do it. So right now he's the big whale. I mean, he's the one that all these sports promoters want, because he doesn't do these autograph signings.
I'll bet a Fernando Valenzuela signed baseball is worth a heck of a lot of money then, based on what you're saying.
Sure it is. Yeah, because, you know, supply and demand.
Right.
You talk business on this show. I mean, yeah, he would be great for business.
You know, I was going to ask you, switch it a little. When you looked at the Mexican community embracing Fernando Valenzuela for what he did for the Dodgers, do you ever scratch your head and wonder why they never got behind Oscar De La Hoya in this country as well?
Because he was a sellout, Mark, driving around in his powder blue Bentley. I mean, let's get real here, okay?
I can answer that. I think it's because Fernando was the everyman. Mexican-American after Mexican-American would tell me, you know, because he was a little bit portly and he had a middle school haircut and he was really shy, he reminded so many of them of their older brother, or their uncle. He was so relatable, whereas Oscar De La Hoya, he was kind of flashy, you know?
Golden boy. Yeah, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, you know, the book is Daybreak at Chavez Ravine, and Eric Sherman with us, Nebraska Press and major bookstores. Eric, thank you very much for appearing on Sports Over America.
The pleasure is all mine. I love talking to you guys, and love the show. And thanks again. Hope to see you again.
I love Eric, man. We got to go back to 74 when he took my Pirates out.
All right, more on Sports Overnight America.
Have you written a book? You can become a published author with Dorrance Publishing, the nation's oldest publishing services company. Countless authors have trusted Dorrance for nearly 100 years to bring their book to the market. Our professional team will edit your text, design your book pages, and create an appealing, eye-catching custom cover. Plus, our authors benefit from a custom book promotion marketing campaign that makes your book available where people buy books, like Amazon and brick-and-mortar bookstores. So make this free call right now to claim your free author's guide to publishing. Don't wait another day. Take one step closer to realizing your dream of becoming a published author and seeing your name in print. You've already written a book, so the next thing to do is make this free call right now to Dorrance Publishing and get your free guide to publishing. Call right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Sports Overnight America. You can email us at sportsfred@aol.com, sportsfred@aol.com. I'd like to thank Eric Sherman, Daybreak at Chavez Ravine, and Nebraska Press published it. It's a really interesting book, not just sports, it's sports and politics, and you know that we do love this. All right, a quarter of the way through the baseball season, believe it or not, I watch all the games. I give DirecTV another $25 a month to watch every single game because they don't make enough money from me at $250. So I just try to help AT&T out. Mark, quarter away through the baseball season, who's the best team in baseball?
Well, everybody's looking at the Tampa Bay Rays, the Dodgers, they're looking at. Padres are a disappointment. But the two teams that come to the forefront right off the bat is my Pirates, because we were projected to win 66 games. We're only about 44 short of that, maybe a little less. But what about the Texas Rangers and Bruce Bochy, man? This dude's like Pat Riley. He wins everywhere he goes, San Diego, San Francisco. And now he's got the Rangers playing top-notch baseball in the Lone Star State.
All right, Art, who's the best team a quarter of the way through the season?
I'm going to have to go with the Atlanta Braves, followed closely by the LA Dodgers, who nobody thought would be there. But I have to give special kudos to Tampa Bay. Kevin Cash, I don't know how he does it every year, but those guys are playing some great baseball through 40 games. So, I mean, in the end, I think it's going to be the Braves and the Dodgers. I think Baltimore's got off to a great start this year. There's a sneaky team in there that I really like. If they can get the pitching, Toronto could be a factor later on in the season. But right now, I'm going to say the Atlanta Braves are the team to beat.
All right, in about 15 seconds here, I have followed baseball since the age of 5. I'm sure you started about the same age. I'm sure Mark did too. I'm not sure I ever saw a game where a team hit 7 home runs. On Thursday, the St. Louis Cardinals hit 7 home runs against the Dodgers. Artie, how many times have you seen that? Have you seen that?
I don't recall 7 home runs. And you know, they were waiting to break out. They've got a good ball club. You got Arenado, you got Goldschmidt. You got a lot of young kids that are starting to hit the ball. Contreras can play. That team had got off to such a poor start. I believe at one point they were 14 and 24, 10 games under. And if you look at that, you know, National League Central, that baby's going to be wide open. And the one thing I got to tell you is this Pittsburgh right-hander Keller, he's got some stuff. And I hope the Pirates can keep him and not do the Gerrit Cole and let him go off and become a superstar.
All right, for Art, for Mark, for Eric Sherman, for Mario, for putting the show together, I'm Fred. Stay tuned all night long for more of Sports Overnight America.